undertake.
What answer do we give to the sincere white radical who claims that black nationalism is racism in reverse? The sincere white radical who claims that black nationalism is racism in reverse. How do we answer? How would we answer him? Yes. Stand up and speak loud, please. Has anyone got more? Yes. That Marxism is a white man's philosophy. Aside from the concrete flaw in this accusation, which is that there are real live black and yellow Marxists today. Well, let's just dwell a little bit more on the second part. That is, it's true that Marxism arose and developed originally in Western Europe, where the population was practically all white. And that Marx was classified as a white. But it was never intended to be a philosophy or whatever you want, a theory, exclusively for the people of Western Europe. It was intended as a philosophy, and it is a philosophy for the whole world. It applies to wherever there are struggles against oppression and exploitation. And since Marx's time, the situation has changed very much. Marxism has spread all over the world. And I believe, and I say, that in today's world, there are more non-white Marxists and supporters of Marxism than there are white Marxists or supporters of Marxism. Numerically, if you want to look at it that way, the argument is entirely false. DeBerry, as I mentioned last week, was invited by Liberator to write a reply to Cruz. And he wrote it. And he submitted it quite a while ago. And one issue of Liberator came out, and it wasn't in that. Another issue of Liberator came out, and it wasn't in that. And now the latest one has just arrived, and it's not in that. So I think we would be safe in concluding that they're not going to print it. DeBerry touched on this question in his reply. Perhaps the reply will eventually be printed in the Militant. Here's what he said in reply to Cruz. He says, if Marxism is white, Western, and obsolete, as Cruz contends, how can he account for the fact that from China to Cuba, where capitalism has been abolished by mass revolution, this was done under the banner of Marxism? How does he explain the fact that socialism is becoming the most popular mass creed in almost all the countries and continents where colored peoples are fighting for freedom? And then he added at this point, because since Cruz considers the American Negro struggle to be a semi-colonial revolt, DeBerry said, if Marxism has been so helpful and correct as a guide in the fight against imperialism and white supremacy in the colonial world, what prevents this method from being equally useful in the Freedom Now struggle here in the heartland of imperialism and white supremacy? Perhaps this is so decisive, it may be one of the reasons why they're not going to print the reply, I don't know. Now, in one place in his article, Cruz refers to Ward He just calls him Ward. He doesn't say which Ward, so that the reader would hardly know who he's talking about unless he's a member of our party or our movement or around it. And he quotes Ward to the effect that dialectics and Marxism apply to all periods and places, or something like that. You may remember. You probably noticed it. And Cruz replied, "Yes, but who's going to decide that?" Or something like that. Well, Ward was correct. The theory is applicable, when properly utilized, to all of the social situations in this world today. To those pre-socialist situations, to those capitalist situations. And when Cruz says this, he adds, if I can find the remark, yes, here it is. He says, "If historical science or dialectics is to be considered really scientific, it must be developed and verified in life by the inclusion of the social experiences, the history, the ideas and political philosophies, the points of view of the backward peoples, not just of those in the advanced capitalist countries." And among the so-called backward peoples, he specifically includes the American Negroes. Well, that's just what we've been saying, too. And we said it a little ahead of Cruz. That's what we mean when we talk about the Afro-Americanization of Marxism. We are trying to demonstrate that Marxism does apply to all of the experiences, to all of the philosophies, to all of the ideas, to all of the needs of the so-called backward people, as well as the advanced people. And I think that in the year or two in which we have been demonstrating it, we have made considerable progress along this line. And that Comrade Berman's articles in the Militant on the Black Ghetto are a very fruitful example of the application of the method to a specific condition. I don't know whether that answers the whole question, but we'll pass on. The question, in what way would we enter into supporting the decision of the Negro people to form a separate nation, if such a move was decided upon, in what way would we enter into it? Would we actively work in the forming of such a nation? Would we attempt to influence them to stay and work toward change here, while at the same time supporting their decision? Would we merely defend their right to such a move, but not enter actively, etc.? Well, we will enter into the decision of the Negro people in the following way. In that our Negro comrades, as part of the Negro people, will help to make that decision. They will help to make that decision in consultation and in collaboration with other Negro revolutionists. And if such a move is decided on and carried through, our comrades, on behalf of the party, acting for the party, and therefore the party through them, will participate in the separation if it takes place. Would we actively work in the forming of such a nation? Yes, in that way we would, very definitely. And the white comrades would work to help them in whatever way they could from outside the Negro community, by giving them active support active material aid, collaboration, active military aid, and so on. Would we attempt to influence them to stay and work toward change here while at the same time supporting their decision? Well, in this sense, we would. We would immediately, upon coming to power, do everything we could to sweep away every remnant of Jim Crow in the same way that Castro did it so quickly in Cuba. That would be the best contribution we could make toward helping them arrive at the decision to stay in a unified country. But merely doing that is not necessarily going to remove the suspicions or the demand for a separate nation. This will be a positive contribution to show them that there is a possibility for them to achieve equality within the socialist United States. But if they don't accept that and want to separate into their own nation, we will support that. If the SWP does not want to dominate the FNP, why does it seek to recruit the leadership of the FNP and other Negro organizations? You remember Wednesday night I went into the question of the charge by Cruz that we seek to dominate the FNP or any other Negro organization with which we have any relations. And I attempted, I think successfully, to demonstrate that that is not our concept. We are not in favor of dominating the Negro movement, because that is not the kind of relation which we seek. We seek a fraternal relation with other movements, not to dominate them. We think that a dominated movement isn't worth having. It won't be a good movement, it won't be a revolutionary movement. And particularly that the Negro movement, the more independent it is of anybody, the better it is for the struggle, both of the Negro people and the whites. So this question then comes up following what we said on Wednesday. If the SWP doesn't want to dominate the FNP, why does it seek to recruit the leadership of the FNP? Well, we seek to recruit the leadership of the FNP for the same reason that we seek to recruit the leadership of any other mass organization, because we want them to accept our ideas, just as we want that movement to accept our ideas. We seek openly to influence them, to win them over to our ideas, even if we don't have a single member in them. And the fact that we seek to recruit them and that we seek to influence them where we can't recruit them is not a sign that we want to dominate the movement, but that we want to influence it. Yes? Yes. I don't think it refers only to the leaders. It refers to the members, too, I think the question does. That is, we seek to recruit people to the SWP. Members of the FNP, members of the Communist Party, members of the Socialist Party, even members of the Socialist Labor Party. Well, if the leaders were revolutionary socialists, we certainly would try to recruit them. Why not? Decide for themselves. If they think it'll be detrimental to their work in the FNP, they probably wouldn't join. And whatever we would try to do would not recruit them. I think we take essentially the same attitude toward the union movement. We attempt to recruit members of the union movement, and of course people say that means that you want to dominate the union movement. If we are to refrain from recruiting people who belong to other organizations, we had better give up. Well, the principle is the same.
Yes.
Keep it short. Stand up when you talk, please.